You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hey, shady baby, I'm hot like the prodigal son. Pick up at the leany, meany, money, moe, and flower, you're the chosen one.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of Geeks at Large. It's only been like, I don't know, fucking 2 weeks, 3 weeks since we last did one of these, right?
Something like that.
Some shit like that.
I can't keep track of time anymore.
We were on a pretty good pace, I will admit, because like end of March, beginning of April and May, we were doing pretty good.
And then the Fire Nation attacked.
But, yes, this episode, as you've probably noticed by the name of it, which has been undetermined as of this recording,
is about the Spanish Civil War.
Yes, it is, Casey. What are some brilliant facts about the Spanish Civil War?
Well, the Spanish Civil War became famous in 1977 when Billy Joel referenced it in his song Miami 2017, better known as The Lights Go Out on Broadway. It also...
That's all you got?
Okay. The Spanish Civil War consisted almost entirely of Cubans.
Okay, and so I'm your host, Taylor. I'm joined by Casey.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say hello when they go to you.
I think they know I'm here, Taylor.
Well, just making sure they know your name, Casey.
I think they know my name, T-Dog.
I should have been like, I think they know your name, Calvin. And then we're joined by Steven. Hi, Steven.
Hey, yo. Hey, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing?
Nice.
You can make a big thing out of yourself, Steven.
Steven Ingram's here. No biggie. Whatever.
No biggie small.
Yeah, it's now a party. Yeah, not a big deal.
no notorious B.I.G. biggie smalls.
Yeah, no biggie smalls, T-Dog, up in this shit. Talking wars that are civil.
We are recording this a little later than planned.
The most polite of wars are the civil wars.
And, yes.
And full disclosure, I just opened some wine.
Nice. Noice.
Thanks, T-Dog.
Thanks, Calvin. You're welcome, Calvin. We didn't give Steven a wrong name. What's Steven's wrong name?
Stevie.
Stevie. That's still technically the right name.
It's brought a sandwich from home for lunch, Steven Ingram, according to the Donald Trump name generator.
Your name's like Stefan.
ST3?
ST3.
ST3. Okay.
My favorite Star Wars droid, C-3.
Okay, so, yes, we're talking about Marvel's Civil War, not the Spanish Civil War.
Indeed we are, T-Dog.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Stefan. Is that going to be a thing?
Okay, Taylor. Steven and I were talking about earlier when you were doing some adjustments, and we realized he couldn't hear you. We said we should just call him T-Dog the entire episode.
Yeah.
So that's the plan?
We're going to call you T-Dog. You feel free to call us whatever. We're going to call you T-Dog.
Well, the goal is for it to just roll off the tongue eventually.
Why can't me and like Casey have a name for Steven? Or, you know.
Because I want to call him Steven.
Why? Just because his parents named him that?
It's a dumb fuck name as it is.
Are you saying T-Dog is a dumb fuck name?
That's my fucking given name, Steven. I don't appreciate you.
I spent hours coming up with that name.
I was named after my great-grandfather, thank you very much.
Who fought in the American Civil War.
I am T-Dog Carlisle II. Thank
Thaddeus
you.
Dog the
Thaddeus
third.
Thaddeus Dog. Thaddeus D-O-double-G. Carlisle the second.
He's the fattest of dogs.
PH fat. It's been around a while. That
the fattest of dogs.
The fattest.
TH.
See, that's gonna be difficult for anyone with like a lisp. Just saying.
Cindy Brady knows what.
So are we actually gonna talk about our subject?
No.
Okay, good, because I wanted to like talk about other shit.
Let's talk about Batman v Superman.
No, we had fucking like 4 hours of that.
I know.
There's like 10 hours of us just fucking. If the government records us like our calls and shit on Skype, there is probably a day's worth of conversation.
Yeah.
Between you and me on that fucking movie.
If the government really records our calls, then we're their Christmas party.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a Patton Oswalt skit.
Hey, yeah. Speaking of government involvement, Captain America: Civil War.
Well, but I do want to plug some shit before we get to the actual nitty gritty of Civil War.
Okay.
One, I want to plug Sweet Weenie.
Thank you.
You're welcome. No. You're working on. There's a current one in production.
Yeah, it's the same one that we talked about last video. Last recording.
Yeah.
Like, we still haven't gotten it edited together yet. But, like, Neil is actually something like 2/3 done with it. He posted a kind of like a rough cut of what he has so far of it. And it looks like it's got potential, so.
And you're like, yeah, largely because of me.
Yeah, it's 99% me, so it's definitely got potential.
So if you listeners don't know what we're talking about the YouTube channel Sweet Weenie, which mm-hmm. features Steven and Geeks at Large member Neil and other friends, and you guys
a couple enemies even.
What's yeah. that? Enemies?
Yeah, a couple enemies show up.
None here of us really like Ryan, to be honest.
That's sure the deets about the beats, man.
I was totally cool with Ryan until he loaned me his copy of Mein Kampf.
My God. So yes.
What was really creepy is that he highlighted his favorite excerpts from it.
He's like, this is really nice about like.
Well, he said Hitler has some good ideas. He's not too crazy about the idea of a country working together, but he really likes mass murder.
Then you guys had an intervention, and he's like, you know what? I always wanted to try an Ayn Rand, you know? Like, I'll just graduate to that. So.
Sooner or later, he'll be reading that Ted Cruz memoir.
Oh, my God. Is there one?
Yeah, he.
Well, what am I asking? Like, everyone has a memoir. Casey has a memoir.
I tried writing a memoir.
Did you?
Casey, within the past year. I get told a lot I should write a memoir.
I mean, we're not all, what's the fucking name of Sarah Palin's daughter who has a memoir and she's like 26?
Russell Palin.
Yes. We're not all as good as her and can have a memoir at 26. We don't know our shit like Bristol Palin.
No, if I wrote a memoir, it would be Pete Townsend style. He started writing it when he was 21. He published it when he was 67.
Ah, and you're going to write it over 12 years and it's going to win an Oscar.
Yeah. Or like not that movie, Captain America: Civil War.
Not yet. We're not. You wasted that transition because we're still going to talk about other shit first.
It took 12 years to make, like Sweet Weenie's most recent video.
Oh no, poor Neil. Neil's been busy.
Okay, like the combined of Honey Mustard with Steven and Deets About the Beats. It's like 12 years.
Well, those are the most, like, complicated.
They are the most complicated ones.
Is Ryan doing shit on that one?
Honey Mustard?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing some animation visual effects stuff, and our friend Jason Fisher, I think, is going to be doing, like, an illustration of me, like, for it.
Wow, yeah. It's not like you guys know any other art friends that could draw you. As I sip my water.
Hey, man.
Well, Taylor, is there a better place we can find your art since Sweet Weenie isn't using it?
Yeah.
Yes, that's a nice transition.
You're welcome.
You get a clap for that.
Gee, Taylor, what are we transitioning to?
I don't know. It's almost like I have a Kickstarter going right now or some shit. but yes, for realsies, I have a Kickstarter that started several days ago. And it's for a comic project. Let me just pull it up here so I make sure all my facts are right. So, yes, the comic is called Skeleton Bay Detective Agency, Midnight at McLeod Mansion. I am the artist. It's written by my friend Cameron Petty. And at this point, it's just a cover that's colored by my friend Brittany Peer, who's a SCAD grad. But the original goal was $550. We fucking left that in the goddamn dust, and we're now up to $970.
Nice.
And we met our first stretch goal, which was at $800, and now we have a second stretch goal where originally the book was planned to be just black and white. So I would add tones and stuff. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, Brittany's a working colorist and she, you know, wants to devote her time to paid projects. And so the next stretch goal is $1,100, which means we can actually pay her something to actually color the rest of the book. So I'm going to leave a link in the description. And basically what it is, it's like an all-ages comic book series that we've been shopping around to different publishers. And we wanted to just kind of try our hand at publishing just a short little... It's not even a full book. It's like 12 pages versus like 22 or something. Mm-hmm. And just kind of... It's like a pilot, basically, where it's like we want to play around with the universe and this how, like, ghosts... Because it's going to be a lot of ghost stuff. And we want to play around with, you know, how we're going to deal with, like a ghost and kind of the lore of the story and, like, the relationship... The kind of the main relationship of the story are these two brothers, you know, Jake and Sammy. And they're kind of the linchpin relationship of the story. So it's kind of a nice introduction to to the bigger ideas that we
want
to do.
Now if I read it, well, I want the brothers to fuck.
Wow, Casey. Wow.
This isn't your, like, Sonic fan fiction, man.
That's my other Kickstarter, Casey. Thank you. Jesus.
I was thinking of Supernatural, guys.
Oh.
It's not rocket surgery.
Okay. So, if you're listening to this and you want to back it, we're going to have the link in the description. We've got three tiers of rewards, $10, $20, and $50. There's only one $50 slot left. So if you get that one $50 slot, if it's still available, you get an original piece of artwork by me. So apparently that's really appealing to people. So there you go.
Also provide a link to that episode of Supernatural. I'm really curious about that.
No, that's just fanfics about Supernatural. Every fanfic about Supernatural. Hashtag Wincest.
So. Hashtag Wincest is incest.
Well, yeah. And when I say Wincest, it's not like winning. like Charlie Sheen. Like incest, more like Wincest, am I right? Oh yeah, high five. Yeah.
Ooh, Tiger Blood.
So Charlie Sheen blood. Kickstarter. Charlie Sheen's Kickstarter is trying to buy a needle full of adrenaline to pump into his heart when he gave out.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so as of today, there's 16 days left to go in the Kickstarter, so yes. This probably will... It'll probably be less than that by the time this episode goes up. But, yes, so please, if you have the disposable income, please contribute to it. You'll get some cool shit. So.
And if you don't, contribute anyway.
Yeah. that rent and, like, you know, food isn't as important as... You know.
You're gonna fucking waste it anyway, fatty.
Wow, Casey. So inviting. So that's my shit. Casey, do you have any shit you want to talk about that you're working on? Well, then. Captain America Civil War. And we're just gonna say, you know, this whole thing's gonna be spoilery. I'm gonna say it in the description of the podcast. We're not even going to bother with spoiler warning, so if you haven't seen it yet and you're still listening to this, please stop listening if you care about spoilers and go watch the movie.
Like spoiler alert, man. Superman dies.
No!
I was about to say that.
That's what, like, everyone fucking says. That's one of, like, the stupidest things. We're like, you know, because people have been really shitty about spoilers about this movie. Like, I already, like, knew some shit with, like, Vision and Wanda and stuff. And I was like, guys, I just, like, this is a movie that I really wanted to go in, like, as blind as possible.
Yeah.
Because I think I saw, like, I saw the first two trailers, and, like, I avoided, like, all all the TV spots and, like, the third trailer as much as possible. Like, even mm-hmm. when they had that TV spot where Spider-Man talks to Winter Soldier, I'm like, that's too much. Get out of here. just let me see the movie.
There's a bit, like, I guess I won't spoil it now, but, like...
No. This is all spoiler.
Ant-Man turns into Giant-Man during, like, the big, like, airport scene. And, like, you know, somebody, like, spoiled that somewhere on the internet. And they were like, the Funko Pop line, like, showed a giant man figure, like, 2 months ago, okay? So you should have known that already. It's like, not everybody buys Funko Pops, you dick.
You son of a fucking bitch.
You fucking dick monster.
I saw on this Funko from 4 months ago that we were going to get, that it had a War Machine, and he had his, you know, front light thing fucking blown off, and it was being blown off by Vision. So that was like 6 months ago, you fucking plebs. Get fucking know your shit.
Like, get on my level or go die of old age.
You fucking scrubs.
Like, just die of old age comic so fans. The world can move on.
But, like, yeah, and I mean, and you mentioned the Giant Man stuff. That's in, like, a trailer now, like a TV spot.
Yeah, it's in a TV spot.
And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Why?
Why? That is one of the cooler moments of the movie.
It is.
You know, I mean, they already spoiled the whole, like, Hawkeye era with Captain America, or with Ant-Man.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah.
That one's just something you can put in a trailer. It's not like you're giving away a plot point or a reveal or anything.
Yeah. I know, but I mean, it's an Easter egg, and those are always fun.
Yeah, that's a fun thing that was from the comics, and it's an iconic thing that Ant-Man and Hawkeye do.
It's like the fastball special in X-Men. But anyway, so, Casey, would you mind giving us a little summary? Not of the whole movie, but just kind of like, you know, of the movie.
Well, in order to give a summary of this movie, you really have to go back to 2008 when Tony Stark was caught inside somewhere and became
a vague place of stand.
Yeah, he was in vague place of stand where a bunch of ambiguously brown people.
Oh my God, Casey, stop!
You tell him to stop, but Neil made a very similar joke during the Batman v Superman one.
I know, but.
Yeah, but
Superman has to save Lois from a country filled with smelly brown people.
Oh, man.
So
apologies to any and all Middle Eastern listeners.
I hope Middle Eastern listeners and Aussie know how much respect and admiration I have for the culture and how it frustrates me that they're just so flanderized by American society that they just turn into ambiguously brown people.
Like in Batman v Superman.
Yeah. Or every now and again in Marvel Universe. Not nearly to the same degree.
What was the last one besides Iron Man 1?
And arguably Iron Man 3.
Yeah. That's true. But that one, like, at least...
that one is actually kind of part of the joke.
Well, yeah, that's like the... yeah, I was going to say, like, that one's more of a... that's part of the joke.
Yeah, but...
And at least Ben Kingsley isn't 100% a white guy, so there's that.
Either way.
But he is smelly.
Either way.
God damn. Well, he is British. Hey-o.
Hey. Yeah,
it's not like those fuckers bathe.
Okay, please continue, Casey.
So after the events of Age of Ultron, the Avengers lineup is now essentially all your B-listers, and during one of their missions, they accidentally kill a lot of people. You know, like you usually do. And now the government's cracking down. The United Nations wants to get in on it, and they want them to sign the deeds to the old rec center.
They're going to inherit $3 million, but before they can do that, they have to sign an accord and, like, spend a night in a haunted mansion.
I was going
to
say, yeah. And they got to win the cheer off. And the prom's tomorrow.
Now Tony Stark immediately signs it because he gets yelled at by somebody that somebody died once.
Who was the actress that played her? Because she looked really familiar.
Alfreda Woodard.
Oh, it was Alfred Woodard. Yeah, that's
Alfred
right.
Woodard. Yeah.
Okay.
No, and honestly, it's the first act of this movie is dividing the teams, because when they're realizing that they have absolute power without any authority behind them, and they're talking about whether or not this is a good idea or a bad idea, and they're actually talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, not fucking Batman versus...
There's going to be a lot of that in this, because...
Yeah.
I almost want to say, let's see how far we can go without actually comparing them.
This isn't the first time in this recording, and we're 19 and a half minutes in, so...
Yeah, so...
We'll try to avoid it, but it's
well,
probably...
Well, no, let's not avoid it, because here's the thing. They're both the same fucking type of movie. You know, it's an iconic character facing another iconic character, and they're fighting.
I'd rather compare it to another movie about iconic characters coming together that really underperformed at the box office. Doogie Loves the Great Balloon Adventure.
That's true. That's very true, Casey. But yeah, like, I think it's totally worth bringing up because one, they both want to do similar things, but one fails miserably and the other one's named Civil War. You know, like, it's, and we've been saying it, like, even when we watched Batman vs. Superman, it's like, because what have we been saying about this whole DC, you know, Marvel Cinematic Universe-esque thing going on? Where it's like, they haven't taken the time to set up everything, right?
Yeah.
And that's what Marvel's done so well, and that's why, that's a big reason why this movie works so well, is because these are all characters, for the most part, especially the two main characters, are characters that we've known for 5-6 years, right? I mean,
if you want to print money, you got to take the time to build the machine properly.
Well, because you're going to keep people... Because the reason why so many people come back for these movies are because they care about the characters.
Yeah.
You know? Here's the thing, and this is a funny thing that I kind of realized, is that you're not getting, like, slash-fic shit with the Batman v Superman universe because people don't care about them. But meanwhile, with the Marvel universe, you have, like, Bucky Cap fan fiction, all this shit, because they like Bucky and Captain America. You know, there's Tony Stark shit, and it's like, you know, it's like with, there's even shit with...
Dawn of Justice slash fiction just sounds really depressing.
But I mean, it doesn't exist because no one gives a shit about those two characters. I mean, people love Batman for some reason, even though he murders people and isn't Batman, but, you know, whatever.
Well, people seem to like the Batman side of it, so there might be some, like, Batman Alfred slash fix, you know.
Yeah. There's a lot of fiction. There's a lot of fan fiction about Batman masturbating alone,
which is very appropriate. Let's be honest.
Oh, he is totally a baiter.
Master baiter. That's what Alfred calls him. Waggity smackity do.
Civil War.
Civil War. And keep going, Casey. So you know you mentioned all the regulation.
Yeah. A regulation got put in. That if they signed, it means the Avengers, while they'd still be able to operate, would be under the jurisdiction of a UN panel and would need approval. And Tony Stark thinks, oh, that is a great idea. Too much power has been in our hands, and those hands accidentally created Ultron a couple times.
Yeah.
And on the other side, Cap goes like, yo, bitch, I'm having fun.
It's not quite like that, but okay.
I believe Cap's exact line was, "It's with my hot body, I do what I want.
I do what
whatever,
I want.
Whatever.
I do what I want."
And all that gets, comes to a head when there's an explosion that seems to, at a United Nations panel, that seems to have been caused by Bucky, a.k.a. the Winter Soldier.
Yep.
A.K.A. Steven.
Steven's best friend, Bucky Barnes.
Oh, yeah, Steve Rogers. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Were you comparing me to Winter Soldier?
I needed a third one for the A.K.A.
I mean, let's be honest, Steven. If you grew out your hair a little bit, you shaved, and you were buying plums with a baseball cap, bam, you're Bucky Barnes.
You know, just change those five things completely differently about your... physical aesthetic or whatever.
No, if you really.
If you grew out your hair, if you wore a baseball cap, if you swapped faces with Mark Hamill, you would pull it off completely.
You would totally pull off Mark Hamill being Bucky Barnes.
Maybe if you actually did a pull-up.
My God, Casey.
Casey's just like relentless today, man. Goddamn.
He's not lying about drinking that wine.
He gets really catty when he drinks.
I've only had a sip, guys.
You should be like a host on like Project Runway. Like, Jesus Christ.
If I want to dress like that, I would just wear a bunch of Barbie dolls around my chest.
You fucking bitch.
Oh, go puke up your dinner.
All right, continue with the synopsis.
Why don't you go on Top Chef so you can get some comfort food? You clearly need it.
Make it work.
Either.
Keep going, Casey.
Where was I?
The UN explosion that's blamed on Bucky Barnes.
The UN explosion, which gets a character really pissed off, whose name I'm forgetting, but decides that he's going to start calling himself Black Panther. So we'll call him Black Panther.
T'Challa.
That's his first name. Don't say it like that. You're like a white dude trying to pronounce, like, Hola, Senor.
What's a tostada?
What's a quesadilla?
What's a tostito?
What's a Cheeto? Okay, so T'Challa shows up.
T'Challa swears revenge against Bucky Barnes for what he did because he killed his father.
And what country are they from?
Why'd you have to ask me that?
Wakanda. They're from Wakanda.
Wakanda. I'm not good with country names.
They're from the not Uganda, Wakanda.
No, I don't remember. I knew that it was the place that...
He's from the African nation of Wanta Fanta, okay?
Do you need a Fanta? Wakanda.
Yeah, that's where they have the Fanta mines.
That's why at the end of the movie, they're in like the beginning of Phantom of Attack of the Clones. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so yeah. So basically, so you have this kind of third party coming in with... Black Panther, T'Challa.
Yeah, you have the line down the middle, sides being chosen, and then you have like Black Panther's kind of like he's choosing Iron Man's side, but he's got a more personal motivation.
Yeah, because he doesn't really care about registration. It's just that Bucky Barnes is on the other side of the line. Yeah, and he wants to kill him to get revenge for killing his dad because he thinks that he killed his dad.
Yeah, T'Challa's father, T'Chaka. You know, like, tells them, you know, it's like, you know, for somebody who doesn't like diplomacy, you're getting really good at it, Simba. And,
Oh my god, stop.
Because, you know, he's...
Because he looks like Matthew Broderick, get it?
Because he's Mufasa and he's going to die. Because this is a Disney movie.
Technically. Keep going.
I think that pretty much... It's,
I think that's
and then they fight that's a pretty bunch.
Much all the pieces are in motion.
Yeah.
Steve Rogers is trying to clear Bucky Barnes' name while going a little bit against the law. Meanwhile, Tony Stark is trying to stop all this from happening, bring them in so they can sign the contract and make this invasion legal. I don't know.
And basically redeem himself, because that's what a lot of it is.
You totally buy Iron Man's motivation in this movie.
I buy, like, everyone's motivation.
I buy everybody's motivation, really. Like, yeah.
I don't buy Ant-Man's.
Well, Ant-Man's is... But I'm talking about... Captain Iron Man.
Well, Ant-Man has like a history of not really caring for the Starks, or Hank Pym was like kind of spurned or something by Stark at one point.
His boss hates Tony Stark, and he probably isn't too fond of him himself.
Apparently, think about it
this way: Ant-Man's entire motivation is I need to lay low and not shake things up too much because I want to see my daughter some more. I guess I'll go. Commit light treason.
Well, isn't there like a one shot or like one of those little short films where like Paul, like it was part of the marketing for the Ant-Man movie where like Paul Rudd talks about how he doesn't like the Starks?
Maybe.
Nothing that sells his motivation so much that it overcomes he commits light treason and gets locked away.
Yeah, but, like, Ant-Man was awesome in this movie, so shut up, man.
that's the thing.
Spider-Man's completely useless in this movie, too, but fuck damn, he's awesome.
This movie, I give a 9 out of 10 if I can just give the rating right off the bat. The reason it's not a 10 out of 10 is because of some minor things that are there for plot convenience.
Well, I mean, I'd give it a 9 out of 10, too.
Yeah, and it brings the movie down for me, but it's still a damn great movie. I forgive the issues, but they are still there.
Well, yeah, it's like I was telling Steven before we were recording. It's basically like there are problems. It's one of those movies where there are problems, but I'm so entertained and invested in what's going on that I can overlook them. Yeah. You know, because it moves at a really great pace. The Russo brothers, who are quickly kind of making themselves, you know, seem as like the best, not only like the best directors and creative guys in the MCU, but also like just great overall action directors.
Yeah.
You know, like, because they continue off on, you know, all the momentum they had from Winter Soldier, which up to this point, like, I'm still questioning whether or not I like this better or worse than Winter Soldier, but, I mean, that's a pretty damn good conflict to have because they're both great.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like they're continuing the momentum of that because Winter Soldier was so fucking good and the action was so great. And, like, you know, apparently the whole airport sequence in this was filmed in digital, like, was all digital and stuff.
It was, like, 80% digital, I think.
But you wouldn't... But, like, it wasn't super noticeable. Like, I think the biggest ones was, like, the obvious shit, like Iron Man and War Machine and,
Spider-Man suit.
Spider-Man and Ant-Man. Because Ant-Man, I mean, Ant-Man grows giant. I mean, that's obvious. But, like, you know, obviously you have, like, the real hand-to-hand stuff with, you know...
Hawkeye and Black Widow.
Hawkeye and Black Widow and Black Panther and stuff like that. So they blend it really well. So, but even then, you have other great stuff like the finale, which, by the way, might be
which is the better fight of the movie. If I had to say so.
Well, but I mean, that's a great thing when you have a better fight that you don't really know much about.
Mm-hmm.
That's not featured in, you know, all the promotions. Like, there's really just that one shot where Bucky and Captain America are beating up Iron Man with the shield.
Yeah, the way it's presented in the trailer, you think that's when they first find Bucky. You don't think that that's going to be the climax.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's great that that's better than the fight that they're really advertising in the trailers,
mm-hmm.
which is still a really, really great action piece. But, like, you have – I mean, this might be my favorite third act in a Marvel movie, like,
mm-hmm.
that I can think of. I don't know if you guys have any
– I can't think of one off the top of my head. I really love the third act of this movie.
And that's the thing, like, because Marvel has this reputation of not having great villains and stuff like that. I mean, you know, like, Guardians of the Galaxy was pretty good.
With a mad villain.
With a mad villain, but, like, and this is something that I've come to kind of consider with the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe and how they don't have great villains is because... You know, they don't always necessarily have the villain be the main conflict of the movie, right?
Yeah.
Like, this movie, the main conflict, there is a villain. You have Baron Zemo, essentially, but he's just the facilitator for everything. The main conflict is obviously Captain America and Iron Man and their respective sides. So you don't need a villain in the case of this movie. You don't need Baron Zemo to be, like, the big, big bad, like, Malekith, you know? That's one of the things that why Malekith was so disappointing was that he was like built up as this huge evil, and he's just kind of this boring ass elf dude, and Ronan was kind of that in Guardians of the Galaxy, but he's saved a bit by like the very end where he's kind of played off with the character with the Guardians, mm-hmm. and you have that dance off shit, and it's like that kind of redeems him a bit. And
it's kind of like when you have like the Deadpool movie, and it's like you have a pretty simple story. It's like a simple revenge romance type thing, and that kind of facilitates us getting to know like the zaniness of and the wackiness of Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like with Guardians of the Galaxy, you have like this fun ensemble of characters, and it's like you kind of want to get to know this fun ensemble of characters. So you have the villain be a bit less. You know, like, you know, you have him stand out a bit less so that the heroes stand out a bit more as you get to know them.
Because it's definitely by design in the Marvel movies that the villain isn't necessarily the most important part.
Yeah.
Or the main driving conflict.
Yeah.
And
it's the arc of the main character.
Yeah, and I feel like this one, more than any other, actually does that probably the best, where the villain is almost a non-entity. For the movie, he's not a big supervillain or anything. He's just a guy who's really pissed off that his family died in Sokovia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even though, I mean, he's technically a, you know, the introduction of a fairly known Marvel villain. But, I mean, yeah, I get your point, yeah.
Yeah. I would like to see him eventually, like, become, like, Baron Zemo, personally. But, like, I do like how, like, if you're going to have a villain whose basic, like, scheme is to, like, kind of take the Avengers down by pitting them against each other and having, like, them try to kill each other, I like that it's, like, a normal guy. It's not, like, somebody that could fight them himself or herself. You know, it would make sense. You know, it's like, you know, like, if, like, Thanos' plan was to, like, pit Iron Man and, like, Captain America against each other, you'd be sitting there going, why doesn't he just knock him out himself? Or then you'd just know that the third act would be like, oh, well, fuck your guys' fight. You got to fight me now. And it's like, eh. It's more interesting when, you know, it's somebody that couldn't take him on physically himself.
One, two, I mean, it's kind of refreshing that his motivations are, like, world domination. Like, he's really just trying to, like, well, one, he's trying to, you know, avenge, because basically what the plot is that Zemo's family was killed in Age of Ultron, from Ultron's plan. And, you know, his motivations are like world domination or being super powerful or getting this, or getting, you know, an infinity gem or some shit. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, basically just he wants to get revenge, and revenge is a huge theme through the whole movie. And I think they do that really well. You know, there's, you know, like Black Panther wants it, Zemo wants it, at one point Iron Man wants it, so Captain America never wants it, right? He doesn't want revenge.
Not really, no.
I just want to make sure that I was getting that right. But yeah, like, it's a big major theme in the movie, and I think it does that really well. And
yeah, you might be able to argue that, like, after, like, Bucky loses his arm in the fight against Iron Man, that, like, Captain America starts getting really angry and looks like he's gonna.
Yeah, but that's like not like Iron a movie. Man, but that's like not like a movie long arc.
No.
That's just in the heat of the battle.
Yeah, you definitely get the feeling that, like, Cap's decisions, Cap's choices are kind of made just from his moral compass, whereas Tony's are a bit more like emotional. Because, like, one thing I've noticed in all these movies is that Tony's a rather dynamic character, and he's always kind of, like, adapting and trying to, like, in some ways, like, a lot of what he does is, like, an overreaction of something.
Well, yeah, like, Iron Man 3 is, like, that's what, like, drives the main plot, is that, what's his name? Happy.
Happy gets
hurt, and he's like, you hurt my friend, come fucking fight me, Mandarin.
Also, like, in the first Iron Man movie with, like, the terrorists, like, I mean, like, no one's gonna argue that, like, going over and beating up terrorists is, like, you know, unsympathetic, but it is kind of an overreaction. Like, he probably could have found another way to do it, but it is, like, in his own way, like, a flashy over, you know, like, overreaction to it. Iron Man 3 is like, I'm gonna cure you, Pepper, of your superpowers. I'm gonna blow up all my Iron Man suits and make fireworks, because whatever, the yeah, that's kind of a big reaction to it. Overreact, like, what, he's got in Iron Man 2, he's got the thing, the disease or whatever that's slowly killing him. So I'm going to race in Monaco. Self-destruction to the max. but, like, Cap has remained pretty consistent throughout his movies. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's usually about him dealing with changing environments. You know, like the shield changing and you know,
adapting to modern life and shit like that.
Adapting to, like, how things modernize. And it's kind of interesting when you have somebody that's been pretty resolute and consistent versus somebody that's always changing, and usually for, like, emotional reasons, you know?
Because it's very clear that Steve Rogers is very steadfast in what his beliefs are. Mm-hmm. Like, he knows who he is. He knows what he believes in. He very rarely, if ever, compromises those.
And that's a good point, because it's like, yeah, you're probably getting here, but, like, Tony probably has a lot of self-doubt, especially after, like, you know, that first movie of the first Iron Man movie, seeing of, like, what happens when his weapons end up in the wrong hands.
Well, yeah, and that's, like, the whole thing about it, like, his character, like, he's arguably the best character of all these movies, because he has the biggest development. He goes from being this very narcissistic asshole to kind of instead of being...
a narcissistic asshole who gives a damn about everybody else just as much.
Well, but it's like, instead
every movie he gets taken down another peg.
Well, because
his arc is him realizing everyone else is as awesome as he is.
Basically. I mean, but my point is that, like, in the beginning of Iron Man 1, he's, like, all he is a narcissistic asshole who's a genius. But as the movies go on, it's like, that's just kind of more of a cover. It's more of a front. You know, it's a coping mechanism because he's got PTSD because of all the shit that's happened to him in all these movies and how he's arguably the most normal person in all these, you know? Like,
maybe Hawkeye.
So maybe, I mean, but Hawkeye doesn't go through all the same shit as Iron Man, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, same, and like Black Widow kind of almost, but not as much, you know, like fighting, like having your work be taken by all these people, because that happens in almost every one, right?
I mean,
that's like, he's got to get sick of people just taking his shit.
He really needs to download McAfee or something, because his security is...
He also needs to stop, like, telling people where he lives and, like, unlocking the doors.
That's one of my big problems with Iron Man 3, where he's just like, come fucking find me. And I'm like, what are you doing? And then, like 3 hours later, like, fucking choppers with Ride of the Valkyries playing, like, come up and blow all his shit up. And he's like, oh, shit, I shouldn't have done that.
Come fucking find me, terrorist. I will not use all of my Iron Man suits.
That's for the climax, motherfucker. but yeah, and then you know he has, and it's not to say that Captain America doesn't have an arc. Like, I think he does, but it's a little more subtle, and it's not quite as you said dynamic as Tony's. So that's the thing. Like, it's, and that's what's so great about this movie is that it's a great culmination of everything before it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why, you know, talking about, like, comparing it to the DC stuff that they're doing is that they haven't. They're not doing the same kind. They're not taking the same steps to build up all these characters, because I mean, I guess they're starting Justice League right now, right?
Yeah.
And so basically, you're going to have a Superman movie, a kind of Superman movie, Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman, and then Justice League. But you're going to just like we're just going to have Aquaman and the Flash and Cyborg in the Justice League movie before they do their other shit. Like, is that the conceit that we have?
Yeah, I think that's the idea. I think their plan is to kind of reverse Avengers it and basically, like, introduce everybody in Justice League and then hope that they have enough interest in those characters to drive a solo movie.
Which is just the worst way to go about it, really.
Yeah, unless they have, like, a really fucking solid script or something, but
come on.
If they have David S. Goyer attached, they most certainly don't.
Well, it could be two or three times as good as Batman v Superman and get a 2 or 3 out of 10.
Yeah. Even if it's twice as good as that movie, it's still looking at 40% on Rotten Tomatoes. Like,
but that's what's so great about, like, you know, Captain America Winter Soldier in this movie is that all the development, all the big heavy lifting has been done in previous movies.
Yeah.
So it all just kind of stacks up, and you can just kind of go off of where you left off. You know, you don't have to, reestablish all this shit. So you just kind of you can just kind of go off from there and tell your story effectively and efficiently.
But Taylor, where is Peter Parker's uncle in this? I was lost when he only had an aunt.
An aunt who looks like she's 30. Marissa Tomei is like...
God forbid his aunt be like his mom's age.
Just saying, it's weird. I'm looking forward to Jennifer Lawrence playing Ant-Man in 5 years. Like, at this fucking rate. We're going to get a 12-year-old Peter Parker.
They're using CGI footage of Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen from Full House to play Ant-Man.
Oh, man. I guess, since we talked about Spider-Man, what'd you guys think of Spider-Man?
I liked him.
I mean, like, I think we all agree that, like, you could have done this movie completely without him, but he is a welcome addition to the movie.
Oh, he's totally fine. It goes back to my thing about character motivation going by the wayside for the sake of we want to do something cool.
Well,
Tony has the vision on his side. Pretty much a a kind of god, at least on the level of Dr. Manhattan.
He's not that good.
He's on his... Yeah, but still, when you have that on his on your side, you think, God, what do I need? Fly me out to Queens. I have a teenager to talk to.
Scarlet Witch is pretty ridiculously powerful in the comics.
Like, she can warp reality.
She completely warps reality. She's like Mr.
In the movies thus far, she essentially gives you weird acid flashbacks and telekinesis.
Yeah.
Well, I think part of the reason why, and this isn't like, I guess you could, these are kind of like the cynical thing you're kind of implying here, but it's like, there's like probably an obligation to use him because he's a big part of the Civil War comic.
It goes beyond that. I think it's just there because they want to have him in the franchise, and they'll, like, the idea, oh, we'll sell 8% more tickets if we put in Spider-Man. And he's good. He's fine. I forgive the fact that he's in it. That's the way I put it.
Well, do you think, I mean, so you're saying, like, because I thought it was because, too, they want to, like, introduce him before they do the Spider-Man solo movie. Right? I mean.
It could be that, too, and I'd rather them do it like this than just another stupid origin story.
Well, I think that's what I think is the case. Because I feel like, instead of just going cold into, you know, a Spider-Man solo movie, Spider-Man Homecoming, whatever it's called, yeah. And so it's like, you already establish him, you have him, like, get his suit, and you, like, you have the scene, and you kind of get all the exposition out of the way, and bam, you can just go right into Spider-Man Homecoming.
But, like, yeah. Also...
I would totally believe that's completely why they're doing this, if they gave him a single discernible reason to be there. Because they are really straining the motivation and the believability for why they would just grab this kid from Queens, because they need him on this side just to give him that extra edge.
Well, why Tony Stark feels the need to recruit, like, an obviously young kid trying to be a superhero, that might be a little up in the air. I think, with Spider-Man or with Peter Parker kind of going through, like, you know, kind of the exposition aspect of it, I mean, that kind of explains why he would be on Tony Stark's side, because, you know, he does explain the whole, like, responsibility angle that you got to do what you got to do when you have those powers. But also, like, I mean, this is reaching, you know, like, I would agree that, you know, like, I would have liked to hear, like, maybe Tony Stark say something like, oh, man, like, I don't know if we have enough to take Cap on. Maybe there's this, you know, check out this kid. I don't know.
Well, they do. The thing is, I don't buy that when you have the fucking Vision on your side.
But they have Scarlet Witch.
But he didn't know Scarlet Witch had gotten out yet.
Yeah, it's true.
At that point, Scarlet Witch is still, you know, house arrested.
But he had Vision... He assumed Vision was locking Scarlet Witch down in the house, so he didn't technically have Vision in
Scarlet, the house. Vision's there by choice to try to keep her calmed down. There's also guards there, aren't there? Like, Hawkeye needed to be the one to go in and pull him out.
Hawkeye exploded and did something when he got in there.
Yeah, God, people die.
Well,
what I'm trying to say is that, like, Iron Man didn't really have Vision in that fight, assuming Scarlet Witch wasn't going to be there either. So it would just be like Iron Man, War Machine, and Black Widow and Black Panther versus Cap and Falcon and Winter Soldier. And I guess he didn't expect Ant-Man.
No one expects the Spanish Ant-Man.
So, like, I don't know. I mean, yeah.
Like I said, it's still a good scene. This is probably the best Peter Parker that we've seen on screen thus far. We'll confirm whether or not he is when Homecoming comes out. I forgive it for doing that. That's
because your point is that it's basically what they're doing with Black Panther. Where they kind of
Black Panther actually had a motivation to be there.
But I was gonna get to that.
Sorry,
I was just gonna say Black Panther, where they introduce him in an earlier movie. You set up some exposition so we know who he is. Except, like you just said, he has a little bit more going on within the plot. You know, he has more motivation. His father was supposedly killed by Bucky, yada yada. So
for narrative and thematic themes, you could not tell the story by removing when you remove Black Panther. You could remove Peter Parker and Ant-Man that matter.
Who
was arguing that?
Yeah. Let me just say, like, I know a lot of people.
All the animal heroes, you can get rid of them completely.
Fucking endangered species. But let me just
Black
say,
Widow might be necessary.
I know yeah. a lot of people are super excited about Spider-Man, and while I really enjoyed him, fucking Black Panther, man, stole the fucking show.
Black Panther was my favorite.
Because I didn't go into this movie expecting that. Because it was like, I mean, I didn't know what to really expect besides, like, I expected a really, really good movie because I liked the previous movie. Mm-hmm. But it's like, they went full out with Black Panther and making him awesome. And you can tell, like, just even today, they're coming out with more and more news about the new Black Panther movie. Yep. Like, just today it was announced that Michael B. Jordan's going to be in it.
It also announced that Lupita Nyong'o was, like, being sought after for a role or something in it.
So they're getting, like, all, like, the best black actors and putting them in this one movie to make this awesome fucking movie.
It's going to be, like, every awesome black actor that's not Idris Elba or Will Smith.
Or Chiwetel Ejiofor, because he's in another one.
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yeah, Chewie.
But they're going to have him show up. He's gonna Chewie? Can't.
Yeah, his friends apparently call him Chewie.
Which is an awesome name. But, yeah, like, Black Panther was so fucking good in this. And
I love Black Panther. I think like I was most interested in Black Panther going into the movie, and he did end up becoming my favorite part of the movie, other than maybe the 20 minutes of Spider-Man. Maybe.
Yeah, and I mean, I think my favorite part, like I've had a favorite part of the movie, it's the third act, because the third act is just so good.
I had to pick a specific scene, I would say Black Panther talking to Zemo.
Yeah.
Because that scene.
That scene's fantastic. And see, that's the thing, too, going back to Zemo. It's like, Zemo's, like, justified for that scene because it's so good. And it's the best scene I think I can really think of, you know. I mean, it's basically, like, a better version of the Vision Ultron scene in Age of Ultron, where you have the new hero basically summarizing some of the themes and ideas and motifs of the movie to the villain before the villain doesn't die in this one. He goes to S.H.I.E.L.D. prison or CIA prison or whatever.
The world of the living was done with Ultron, apparently.
But I think they do it better in this movie. And it's really cool to have that we now have, like, because, you know, the Avengers 1 was, like, the gold standard. And they could have easily just made those, like, the best movies of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But no, they're, like, really, you can tell they're just really focusing on the solo movies too. Like, Guardians is fucking awesome. Ant-Man's what's it?
Winter Soldier
is fucking awesome. Ant-Man's really solid. This is awesome too, you know. And it looks like Black Panther's gonna be fucking great, you know. And I mean, Doctor Strange looks really interesting. Like, I'm seeing a lot of people that are like, okay, I'm really intrigued by this from a teaser that doesn't show a lot, really.
Yeah.
So. And
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange. Stock footage from Inception.
We have to go another level.
I say it's somebody super excited about that movie.
Well, and it's funny that people bring up Christopher Nolan because, like, you know, people are saying, like, it's like Batman Begins, when, like, Batman Begins took the whole origin of Doctor Strange, really, and put it in Batman Begins. So.
Yeah, kind
of. So it's like, you know, the source, it's like this big circle where... You know, Christopher Nolan takes from Doctor Strange, and now Doctor Strange's kind of taken from Christopher Nolan. So, what else, like, do we?
Nobody's original anymore.
Wow, fuck everything. You know what? Fuck Doctor Strange.
Fuck these movies.
But yeah, let's talk about the finale, which it's just, man, like, it's just so, it's like, all again, it's a culmination. You have all these emotions, and
yeah.
You know, were you guys all genuinely surprised about Bucky killing the Starks? Yes, thank you. Of course, Steven told me there's, like, a hint of it in Winter Soldier. Do you remember that?
Apparently, yeah. Like, I heard this on some other podcast, and it was...
Now, is this one of those intentional hints, or is this something where somebody's really reaching?
No, I think...
From the sound of it, it sounds like an intentional hint. It's like, just really
especially
subtle.
Especially because it was in Winter Soldier, which was the Russos and the same writers. Because apparently in Winter Soldier, when Captain America opens up like the Winter Soldier file, apparently there's like a picture of John Slattery or something in there.
Yeah,
that's supposed to be Captain America, like, knowing that maybe Winter Soldier had something to do with the death, and that's why Captain America says, like, yeah, he knows that that Tony Stark's parents were killed.
Thing is, I wonder, because I would want to see that photo of John Slattery myself, because I feel like we would have noticed John Slattery.
Yeah, I saw Winter Soldier.
Trust me, I can see John Slattery everywhere. When I'm watching TV, watching movies, that crawl space I hit him in.
when he goes to the supermarket and I'm there hiding behind the oranges.
Yeah.
I saw Winter Soldier before, and I still
hide behind oranges, the oranges to see a little bit of Johnny Slate.
Johnny Slate. That's his porn name.
What that new porn stash of his.
Yeah, baby.
Did he grow out the Madman sash for this? I'm wondering.
Well, that's why I joked earlier before we recorded. Like, this is what happened. That's the fate of Roger Sterling. Is that in 1991, after he retired, he was murdered by Bucky Barnes. Because he looks exactly like Roger Sterling. Season 7, Roger Sterling, bam. Also, okay, this is probably the closest a movie has ever been to being a biopic of my life. Because there's scenes that take place during my birth year, and there's a scene in Cleveland. So check it out, Casey, if, like, Doctor Strange has, like, a scene in 1993, and there's Plattsburgh.
Taylor, do you want to know the movie that I have connections like that to?
What?
It's About Time.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because it begins. So, because it begins on
the Justin Timberlake movie?
No, that's In Time.
That's In Time. That's,
get your time travel movie straight, you fucking piece of garbage.
Whoa. That wine, man.
Yeah, seriously, how much wine have you drank, man?
Like, 2 sips.
He's drinking it out of the box, man.
I didn't feel like... Dude, I'm drinking the end of a bottle tonight, that's all.
We know, Casey, we're just giving you shit.
Either way, I'm not as think as you drunk I am. No.
What seems to be the officer problem?
The movie About Time with Domhnall Gleeson.
That's right, yeah.
It begins on his the day before he turns 21. I watched it the day before I turned 21. And the very first thing you hear is the song Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You, which was the number one song the day I was born.
Oh my fucking God. I did like verbally like woo when Cleveland came up. I was like, yeah.
But in that huge font.
Yeah, I love the font. There's like, it reminds me of like music video. Like, there's like music videos that start with like bop, like Taylor Swift, you know. Like, but I can't remember what music videos they are. But it reminded me totally of that, like bwomp, Cleveland.
I'm trying to imagine more. I'm trying to imagine like more movies doing that. Like if The Room did that.
Yes. Would it be like Comic Sans?
just every establishing shot. San Francisco. San Francisco. San Francisco.
Every scene change and it's like the address. So it's like just the whole screen and like this giant font.
Yes. You know, I wish that they took some of the establishing shots from The Room and put them into Dawn of Justice.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, so it could actually have establishing shots.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. I love, it's almost like, and I know this isn't the case, but it's almost like this movie saw that there was like really such a lack of establishing shots that they made sure to really have establishing shots.
Cleveland!
Cleveland!
Well, you can't see the establishing shot over the title. But no, I actually thought the same thing. It's like, oh, this movie wants you to know where you are at any given moment.
What a nice thing for them to do.
That's nice. I like it when they think of the little guy.
I know. Like, I love when they have basic, you know, skills in storytelling.
Dawn of Justice takes place in 2 cities, and we were still lost where the fuck we were.
Well, because both cities look the fucking same. And they're, like, a mile apart. so stupid as shit. But the climax took place on, thankfully, this uninhabited island. In the middle, like, literally in between both of them.
Yeah, uninhabited.
What's that?
It was Oakland.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, can we just say that that's such a stupid idea for, like, oh, man, Metropolis is San Francisco and Gotham is Oakland. And it's like...
And when they say that, I just think, oh, Oakland, I'm sorry. You didn't deserve to be involved in this movie.
I know. When it's like, I think maybe, like, one other time in the history of mankind was Gotham and Metropolis that close to each other in continuity. Because literally, like, every other time
it's
like...
And that was on the drawing that I drew in preschool.
Because, like, even before that, like, the closest they were was, like, maybe, like, you know, New Jersey and New York City.
Right, yeah.
Or something like that. Or Chicago. Like, I always saw it as New York City and Chicago, quite honestly.
Well, like, I think, haven't they made comparisons to, like, Metropolis? Like, Metropolis has, like, 5 boroughs in it, you know, kind of like New York.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the Richard Donner movies, there's literally a Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it has more of a...
In Batman Arkham Knight, there's the statue of Our Lady of Gotham.
Well, and it doesn't help the fact that, like, The Dark Knight was filmed in Chicago.
Yeah.
So it just kind of helps to support that. So,
Dawn of Justice is a stupid movie.
Okay. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about? Because what I want to do is like maybe just go around and like you list like your 3 favorite things about the movie.
You want to talk about, like, I don't know, maybe like the future of these movies, speculation on, well, like,
yeah, or... I mean, I would, and I've talked to Casey about this because. This is kind of the end of an era for the Marvel movies, because this is phase 3 or 4.
Yeah, we're going to phase 3 right now.
Yeah, and it's very clear that, like, when you look at the release schedule, there's not an Iron Man. I mean, I know there's news that Robert Downey Jr. wants to do more, but there's no scheduled one for the next, like, 4 years.
Well, Inhumans got taken off the slate, so I'm thinking that might be Iron Man 4 now.
Maybe. I don't know. There's, I mean, they're still making Inhumans. It's just not then.
No, I think it's off the docket now.
No, they just came out with the news that they're still going to make it.
Ah, okay.
And there's speculation that if goddamn what, Apocalypse underperforms, that they might get some... They might score some deal with Fox to do an X-Men movie.
Which, I don't know if I want that, because it's going to... To me, personally, there's 2 reasons why I'm not crazy about that. Because, one, I think it's going to, like, muddle the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe, because, like, all of a sudden you have mutants. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, how do you deal with that? Because mutants have kind of always been a thing in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
In the comics, because it's like, oh, there's mutants, you know?
It would be complicated enough if they threw, like, Blade into the Marvel Universe, because then you have to establish that there's this whole demographic of vampires living in New York. You know, like, throw mutants into that mix, and it's like, what?
Sooner or later, they're just going to reveal Texas Chainsaw Massacre is also in the same universe.
Basically. Like, fucking, like, Aristocats take place in the same universe. Like... Man, I love that crossover between Rescuers Down Under and Spider-Man. It was fantastic.
When John Carpenter's The Thing had a crossover with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
That would be awesome. Don't tease me like that, Casey.
Oh my god.
I want to fucking watch that.
Mike Sully and Buzz Lightyear are going to have to help fight Thanos.
I mean, hey, there's going to apparently be 68 trademark characters in that movie. So.
What, Infinity Gauntlet, whatever?
Infinity Wars.
Well, the 2 of them. Is that across both movies?
Maybe.
Well, and you know what? I mean, most of those are probably going to be glorified cameos, blah, 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 whatever.
I'm hoping that's what they are.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's like just so impractical to have, like, to basically, like, take this movie and, like, quadruple it.
If Howard the Duck doesn't pimp slap Thanos, I'm boycotting that movie.
That would be amazing.
Now, their wording on the 66 characters can be vague. Has been vague. Sometimes it just seems like, oh, that's how many speaking roles there are in that, which makes sense. That would be less than Age of Ultron, I think, even. Or But it's ranging from there's 66 superheroes to 66 speaking characters.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because, like, one of them could be, like, Pepper Potts or something.
Yeah, like, Pepper Potts is a trademark character out of the Marvel universe, so, yeah.
I mean, it could even be, like, a cameo from Matt Murdock and Foggy.
Yeah,
that'd be
whatever. Those are probably going to be two of them.
Yeah, and Jessica Jones, so bam, there you go. Luke Cage. Yeah,
we're 20% of the way there. No, wait, 1/20th of the way there.
Yay, making progress. Yeah, but, like, me and Casey were talking about this, because I know you, Casey, unlike Steven and me, like, Steven and I will just fucking go to any superhero movie, but you're suffering a bit from the fatigue.
Suffering from fatigue, and I'm of an acquired taste.
I am fucking better than you, thank you.
I'm better than you, that's why I'm able to see Fantastic with fresh eyes.
Oh my fucking god, fuck you.
Fuck you, dude. Fantastic fuck you, okay?
Wait, are you telling me of all the shit I've given you tonight, Steven, the I kind of like Fanforstic more than you was to cut off?
That says more about you than it does Steven, Casey.
It does, it really
does. Yeah, it means I'm not just going to jump on a hate wagon like an idiot.
Or that we actually like the property and we don't want to see it bastardized. Casey just likes children getting punched in the face by their older siblings.
Taylor and I have actually watched the movie, Casey. We're not just blindly hating it.
I know, Steven, I know. And I've also watched the movie, and I don't think it's good, but I think it's better than people are giving it credit for.
All right, enough about Fantastic Four. Let's talk about, I guess, we were on the subject of the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with Casey, you know, you're the one that's kind of feeling the fatigue of superhero movies, but I know we've talked about it off mic and stuff about how, you know, that would you say that you're kind of optimistic with the current slate of Marvel movies and how there's a lot of new stuff coming out?
I'm sure there's a lot of new stuff, and I'm sure a lot of it's going to be objectively good. I'm not going to be in too much of a rush to see it. It's going to be a lot of stuff I'm going to be catching on video and DVD. Holy fuck, I said video. What?
On the VHS and Betamax.
Yeah, a lot of stuff's going to be coming out on A-Track, and I'm going to be... I'll probably watch it then.
I'm going to stop down at my local Blockbuster and grab me...
and grab me a Laserdisc.
Dude, I want a Laserdisc of fucking, like, Captain America Winter Soldier. That'd be awesome.
These VHSs are they're gonna catch on, guys.
I like the clamshell boxes myself. They're gonna go places.
Yeah, especially when you clamp them around your nipples.
Whoa, Casey. Is that the wine talking, or is that just you?
That's the fourth sip of wine talking.
No, I've had a lot more now.
Oh yeah.
Now, I'm hoping that the Marvel movies, because at this point, you feel like you're near the end of these characters' arcs, or at least you feel you're closer to the end of their arcs than the beginning of their arcs, especially with Iron Man.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping that Infinity Wars actually is a last hurrah for a lot of these characters.
And I've always kind of felt like that was the plan. Mm. And I know, like, again, I know there's news about Robert Downey Jr. wanting to do more and stuff. And I'm not sure how many Chris Evans is under contract for. But, I mean, yeah, like, when you look at the current slate, I mean, there's one new Thor movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's no new Captain America movies. There's no new Iron Man movies. We got Doctor Strange this year, which we're all interested in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Black Panther. Can we all agree that we're interested in that?
I think we have it's Doctor Strange this year. Then next May is Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yep.
Then it's
isn't Spider-Man next year?
Yeah, Spider-Man's next year. Then it's Thor Ragnarok, and then 2017 February is Black Panther.
2018, you mean?
Yeah, yeah, 2018.
Yeah.
And then it's Black Panther, then
Captain Marvel. Or Infinity War?
I think it's Infinity War, then Captain Marvel.
Yeah, Captain Marvel just got delayed a few months, so...
Yeah, because what I feel like with that, since it's cosmic, and Infinity War is going to be cosmic, so it's kind of like Captain Marvel is going to kind of bridge the gap and kind of set up stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
In the cosmic universe with, like, the Kree and all the stuff, because isn't Ronan Kree
Yeah, he's a creep.
Yeah, so like they've already kind of touched a bit upon that in Guardians. They might touch upon more of it in the sequel.
You think we're ever gonna get Skrulls?
Well,
Skrulls is trademarked under Fox, I believe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they're Fantastic Four villains. That's right. That would make sense.
Yeah, and there's...
I think they're X-Men. I think that the... Because weren't the Skrulls in Days of Future Past?
I don't think so. The movie?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No.
I thought that's what they were fighting in the future.
That was Sentinels.
Those are Sentinels, Casey. The robots.
they're like shape-changing, adapting Sentinels.
Yeah, it is weird. It is confusing. But yeah.
Yeah.
Skrulls started with Fantastic Four and Avengers.
Yeah,
I mean they're like a company wide villain because you had like Secret Invasion.
Secret Invasion, yeah,
yeah, which was just about like Skrulls invading and looking like humans.
Yeah, it was an invasion of the Body Snatchers with Marvel.
Yeah, so go ahead.
No, I was just calling it bitchin'.
Okay.
I'm pretty interested in the movies to come. Like, I can see where, like, the fatigue is coming from, especially if, like, you know, you're, like, not as invested in, say, like, Iron Man or Thor. I'm personally pretty interested in Captain Marvel and Black Panther, Guardians of the Galaxy. Thor, I'm still kind of waiting, because, like, I guess the current rumor... is that because Hulk's going to be in it, that they're going to do, like, the Planet Hulk story, but, like, give it to Thor? Like, it's going to be, like, about Thor, and then, like, Hulk's going to be the third wave that he has to fight, and then they'll team up and fight whoever banished them there.
Which, like, I mean, kind of intrigues me, but it also, like, just at least I'm assuming you're just kind of remembering it from the report. Like, if that's what the report says, like... It just sounds like the Hulk's just kind of thrown in there, but, you know.
Well, like, I think the idea is that they can't do a Hulk solo movie without, like, Universal getting, like, the distributing or something.
Right.
So, like, this would be, like, their loophole way of doing Planet Hulk, which is probably a story they want to do because
it's
easily the most interesting Hulk story.
At least in recent times.
Yeah. And so it's like they probably want to do it, but, you know... If they make Hulk a supporting character instead of the main person, then they can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, at first, like, it's like, yeah, they're taking, like, my favorite character and my favorite story of his and giving it to Thor. But at the same time, like, unlike, say, a certain other movie
that Oogie loves.
Yeah. But, like, you know, like, when we... After Man of Steel, and we started hearing about sequels for it, and it was like, oh, like, Batman's going to be in it. Like, oh, Man of Steel 2 is going to take a lot of inspiration from The Dark Knight Returns. It's just like, yeah, this isn't going to be a Superman movie, is it?
Well, at least it's, like, from the beginning, from the get-go with Ragnarok. It's like, they're not trying to, like, skirt around the fact that, like... And also, it's if you're right about the Universal stuff, then it's, like, a rights issue, too.
But, like, what I'm getting to is, unlike... the DC Dark Knight Returns Man of Steel sequel, I do have more confidence in Marvel that, like, if that was their plan, was to basically do, like, Planet Hulk but with Thor and then, like, Hulk being, like, a supporting role, I have more confidence that I'll enjoy it and I'll, like, respect the changes that they make in order to compromise, because Marvel knows their fans, they know their material, they know their characters.
Yeah, they've clearly shown that they actually know what they're fucking doing.
And like, Civil War has shown that they can take a comic story that was popular, but not that good, and make it good.
Yeah.
So, like, if they take, like, a good story like Planet Hulk, and then, like, you know, if they have to tweak it to make it about Thor... You know, like, they can still do it really good. You know, like, right. I'm a bit more confident in that. That being said, though, I think I'm just a bit more interested in, like, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, because these are characters I really don't know that much about.
Well, that's what's so cool about Black Panther in Civil War, is that it's, like, he's the breakout character.
He was, yeah.
Because it's, like, it's kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy, where no one really knew who they were.
Exactly.
No one knew who Groot was. Rocket Raccoon was really obscure. And it's like, bam, now people love those characters. And now I feel, at least against, at least with the three of us, we're all like, fuck yeah, T'Challa.
Well, yeah, like, the interesting thing is, like, when you take, like, Iron Man, for example, you know, like, not many people really knew who Iron Man was. I knew him mostly from, like, the Civil War comic and just, like, the occasional comic book story.
Well, really, like, only, like, really only comic book readers knew these characters.
Yeah. So then you cast, like, Robert Downey Jr., and then he becomes popular. And now, like, you know, because so few people really knew Iron Man, now, like, Iron Man in the comics and in the cartoons is more like Robert Downey Jr. They're just making it more like Robert Downey Jr. Like, I know, like, Star-Lord in the comics is really, like, he was more of a dick, right?
Yeah.
And so now they're, like, they're trying to make him more like Chris Pratt as, like, the lovable doofus kind of type. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's kind of the power that you have when you take characters that really nobody knows about. It's like, if they become popular, like, if their movie counterparts become very popular, then they can just kind of tweak the comic books, and then the comic books will be more popular.
In theory. I don't know how much that actually works.
Yeah.
As someone who is a fledgling professional comic artist, it's very...
Hit or miss.
Hit or miss. It doesn't necessarily translate instantly. I mean, these movies are making billions of dollars, and yet... I mean, the comics industry is better than it was probably in the past before the movies, mm-hmm. but it's not like they're just doing gangbusters. And, like,
that's true, man.
I don't know if we'll ever see a time again, like in the 90s, where, like, you know, the biggest selling comic book of all time was that one issue of X-Men.
Mm.
You've probably seen the cover where, like, it's a giant group shot. Jim Lee did it.
Yeah. Well,
didn't they have, like, 20 trillion covers of it? Different covers.
I don't think so. I don't think that was a huge thing back then. Or as big as it is now. But it's also, like, you didn't have the internet, and the direct market was a bigger thing. You know, going out to stores was a bigger thing. Comics were also cheaper.
Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of factors. But, you know, and the comic book industry wasn't as broad back then as it is now. I mean, you have Image now, basically competing directly with the big two in terms of sales, with stuff like Invincible, Walking Dead, Saga, shit like that.
Hey, I've heard really good things about Saga.
Saga's fucking great, by the way.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, Casey and I know.
Wow, okay.
Brian K. Vaughn, motherfucker.
Oh, okay, yeah. I've heard of him.
Yeah. BKV.
BKV. Cleveland boy. There you go.
Big Kitchen Velcro.
This episode should be called The War of Cleveland Aggression because of all the Cleveland people. You got me, you got the Russos, and you got Brad K. Vaughn.
I will say, the kind of leading into the future, just kind of one thing I'm kind of hoping for is that, like, I mean, I liked Zemo in this movie. Coming out of it the first time, I was like, you know what? You could have called him another name. You know, it's like...
Well, they didn't call him Baron Zemo, right?
Yeah, like, he's not Baron.
Seems to be that character in name only.
Yeah, like, the idea is that, like, the uninitiated, like, really don't know what Zemo is, so, okay. But the people who know Zemo know that this isn't really Baron Zemo. So it was a weird choice, but I do understand, like, this is kind of Zemo in essence. I would like to see him eventually become Baron Zemo, mm-hmm. and I think that, like, when Infinity War, or whatever they end up calling it, brings the team back together, then that'll be, like, Zemo going, like, oh, my plan didn't work, I better form my own fucking team and take them on, you know? Like,
that'd be great if he inadvertently makes the Avengers together again. It's just like, oh, fuck!
Yeah, I'm going to form my own team, and they'll take them on, and I'm going to get the pinkest mask you'll ever see. And, yeah, I'm going to wear that pink costume. I'm going to rock
get the previous
hard.
Guys, like Bartok the Leaper, and I'm going to resurrect...
It's Batroc the Leaper.
Or Batroc the...
Batroc.
Yeah, I was about to say, Bartok's the science company from The Fly.
Ah, whatever.
Mm. Batroc the Leaper.
Batroc. Or he's Bardock, the father of Goku the Leaper. I don't know. yeah, like, that's the thing, and, you know, I think part of it for me is that, you know, I know there's some people out there that, like, you know, think because there's all these think pieces about the oversaturation of superheroes and stuff. Right. And really, it's like, as long as they're good, people are going to see them. But that's the thing. They have to be good. I mean, we're already seeing shit with, you know, Batman v Superman, where it's getting really bad reviews. It's underperforming, even though, I mean, when you look at, like, relative to a lot of things, it's making a lot of money.
Yeah.
But relative to how much money it has to make, it's not doing very well. And it's underperforming. And so it's like, there's this, it's like now it seems like there's more, there's less wiggle room, and there's a, you know, the margin of error is different than it was before, where you have to make something good for people to see it, you know? And it's like, I mean, at this point, I think Marvel,
you have to not, or you have to not put as much money into it, like a la Deadpool.
That's true too. But I mean, Deadpool's both of those. It's cheaper and it's really successful at what it wants to do. And you know, again, I mean, and I like to think that it's like people putting more value in character and stuff, and like respecting the source material. You know, that's why Fantastic Four didn't do well. That's why Batman versus Superman doesn't do well. But
why Deadpool did so well.
And Deadpool did so well, and this is doing so well because you have all these characters and there's arcs and all that shit. And you know, and I'm gonna keep seeing these. I have yet to see a Marvel movie that I personally disliked. There are some that I like more than others, definitely. But
there've been some meh ones.
There's some, there's some that are okay. There's some that I wouldn't actively rewatch, you know, unless I was like, I wonder if I still dislike this, or if I would like this more watching it again, kind of thing. But at this point, it's like, I have trust in Marvel, and I'm going to see what they... I mean, I'm excited for Doctor Strange. I'm excited for all the ones we've talked about, pretty much. I'm interested in Homecoming now, really. Yeah. You know? Not that I wasn't interested before, but now it's like, okay, you know, now that you've established all this shit, and you've subtly implied, you know, the Uncle Ben stuff, and you've established everything, that's cool, and I want to see what you do now. And also, I think it's just because I'm just kind of entangled with this, being a comic artist. It's like you're kind of married to this kind of stuff, where it's like, you know, you're just kind of always interested in it, and it's kind of always there in the nebulous of your career. When you go to conventions, you're going to have people talking about it. You're going to see all kinds of adverts for it and stuff. So,
back to, like, when we were talking about, like, the money that, the you know, goes into these movies, and, like, Batman v Superman versus something like Deadpool. Like, you think, like, Batman v Superman spent how much money on marketing that they had to make, like, $1 billion or something, right? Like, to balance it out, right?
To, like, break even or some
like,
shit.
How much money did they spend on, like, a giant fucking billboard in Times Square versus, like, the really genius marketing of Deadpool
with all the movie posters,
like the movie posters and like the promotional stuff, the viral marketing.
Even now, like, I'm sure it's killing in like rentals and shit.
Like, Deadpool had like Deadpool's marketing campaign was, you look at it and you would think they spent as much money as Batman v Superman did to get like the talent that they have behind this marketing campaign.
Well, and but it and
Batman v Superman just like put billboards everywhere.
Well, that's what's crazy about it, is that, well, one, I think it used social media better.
It did.
You know, like, there's all kinds of stuff, like, you have all the, it's really just images, and you've got, like, YouTube videos. I mean, the whole reason why the movie was made stems from viral marketing, because Ryan Reynolds leaked that shit, that test footage, and people were like, oh my fucking God, I want a movie of this. And they're like, and then Fox was like, all right, we'll make a movie of this. And lo and behold, we got a really good movie out of it.
And so, now we have like a slew of like R-rated superhero movies coming out now.
Yeah, so, which hopefully, like, people don't take the wrong way as far as studios go.
Yeah, like Wolverine you can do it with.
Oh, I'm excited for Old Man Logan that's R-rated now. Like, that's fucking cool.
But, like, if they're thinking about making, like, the next Batfleck movie, like, you know, rated R or something, like, I don't know.
That's the thing. I don't even know what they'd really do. I mean, Daredevil's already R, and it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
You know. So.
They need to take the right lesson from that, but that's a whole other discussion.
Like, I feel like DC would be the one to abuse and take that the wrong way, and so it's like...
I don't think they would at this point, because if their last movie underperformed so badly, they needed to cut the number of movies Warner Brothers was going to make in a year. That means that they don't want to try to alienate any audience.
Well, also to that end, you know, we have these reshoots with Suicide Squad to make it funnier. So already that's Deadpool influence.
And they might have thrown like some raunchier humor in there. Maybe they're trying to bump it up to an R rating or something.
I don't know if it'd do that, but I do think that at least them trying to make it funnier, quote unquote,
yeah,
is because Deadpool is so successful. So
yeah,
we'll see. Okay, so that's the future. I guess we could just wrap it up. What would you guys then? Don't worry if there's repeats. What are your three favorite things about Civil War? We'll start with Casey.
If I had to pick my three favorite things...
It could be anything, really. It could be a shot. It could be a scene. It could be a line of dialogue. It could be an acting.
My three favorite things are Jim Rash appearing, the words that Jim Rash said, and the way that he appeared in this movie.
That's it? Yep.
No, Jim Rash's cameo is one of my three favorite things. I love the fact that it's now apparently tradition in the Marvel movies to give a cameo to a community actor.
Yeah, man, the Russo
movies. At least the Russo ones.
Yeah, but they're essentially taking over.
Yeah.
All the important movies now are going to be them.
So look for Jillian Jacobs, Alison Brie, and Joel McHale in Infinity War.
There's three more of the 77 characters.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
No, and honestly, my money's on Donald Glover for the next one.
That'd be sweet. Like a Childish Gambino concert's going on.
Childish Gambino's going to be in the Avengers movies.
Thanos is going to get beat when Ant-Man drives the Bluth stair car up to him and Captain America runs up the steps to punch him in the face.
Punches him off his floating chair.
And then Thanos says, I've made a terrible mistake.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. And then Captain America gets real close to him. He's like, what was it? There's money in the banana stand.
They could be like Thanos is trying to, like, you know, flirt with Death, and Death is like, no, get away from me. And then you hear, hello, darkness, my old friend.
And then Spider-Man
shows... just mentioning Death going, no touching.
Yeah, and then Spider-Man shows up with his new girlfriend, Anne.
Her?
Yeah, who? Okay, Casey, what are your other two things? Who are your
My other two favorite things, I like that they went for a smaller villain. Mm-hmm. Even though it goes back to my thing about motivations, and I have an issue with the fact that a guy whose entire background motivation is he's upset that his family was killed in collateral damage puts forward a plan that includes, like, as a necessity to keep the plan going, people dying from collateral damage. And I think that his actual plan itself gets a little vague and lost in story, but the reason it gets lost in story is because it focuses so much on the character stuff between Tony and Steve, and I think that works very well.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads into my third favorite part. I like the fact that this is their story. I like the fact that this is something where even though there's some oversimplifications when you get down to it, it's not easy to just simply pick a side. Or if it is easy for you, you can see why someone else would pick the other side for it.
Yeah, because there was definitely times in this movie where it's very gray.
Like I came down pretty early on in the movie, I'm thinking, like, oh yeah, I'm on Team Iron Man. I think that makes more sense. But I saw it with somebody who was on Team Cap, and I go, like, okay, I see that. I see why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's flaws to both sides. That's the whole point, you know?
Yeah.
Which is something that, like, the comics, I guess, I don't remember if the comics did that well or not, because they kind of made both just huge assholes.
like when I read the comic book, it made me think, like, if I were a superhero, I would probably be on Team Cap, but if I were like a civilian living in that world, I would probably be more in favor of Iron Man.
Well, and Iron Man does like shitty stuff, like he has like a prison in the negative zone.
Yeah.
Where he puts all the superheroes.
But like in the Marvel Universe, especially in that version, there's like how many superheroes? There's like thousands of superheroes. A lot of them are like, what, like Spider-Man's age, not even, and they have stupid, dumb reality shows where they chase down supervillains.
Right.
And it's like, as much, like, I kind of like that was the inciting incident in the comics, like just a bunch of dumb kid superheroes that, like, bit off more than they can chew while doing their stupid reality show.
And killed 600 people.
And they killed 600 people. And it's like, and when that happens, you think, yeah, these superheroes need to be in check. They need to be supervised. But then you got to think, like, yeah, maybe not all of them need to be supervised, but some of them definitely do. But, like, whose side would you take? And, like, if you are a superhero, you would probably want to be on Captain America's side, especially if you're one that has, like, a secret identity in the comic books. Whereas in this movie, it's more like, you know, yeah, you know, the government kind of needs to keep tabs on these people, you know, because maybe, like, you know, the government feels better if they're the ones making the calls of, like, where the Avengers are deployed. Whereas Captain America's like, yeah, you know, these people that might be in charge of us have agendas, though, and what if we want to go to protect, like, I don't know, India, but the people that are, you know, our higher-ups for some reason have an agenda that doesn't really care about India or whatever country. So, you know, so it's like Captain America feels like his team won't ever be biased and ever have that kind of agenda, and they can't trust their higher-ups to not have an agenda. But ideally, you would probably want the people that are protecting you to have some oversight and be accountable to some sort of higher-up. You know, like, you would think the United Nations is a pretty fair supervisor. But you never know, like, you know, maybe individuals of the United Nations might have their agenda. They have, maybe some members have more sway. Now, it's a very gray situation, and I would agree wholeheartedly with Casey that that's probably one of my three things as well, that I really just like how, you know, yeah, Iron Man is kind of the antagonist of the story, but he has a purely sympathetic and logical reason for his side of the argument, even if his motivation for choosing it is more of like an emotional decision.
Mm-hmm. Like, and what's cool is that this movie, you know, doesn't just do a one-to-one translation of the inciting incident. Mm-hmm. And I like how there's different motivations for the characters in the movie versus the comics.
Yeah.
You know, like, you, because that's what's really interesting and clever about the inclusion of Bucky, is that he's really the whole linchpin of everything, you know, because he's a known terrorist, but he's also been brainwashed.
Yeah.
And he's a driving force for both Black Panther and eventually Tony Stark.
You can kind of make the argument that, like, Bucky kind of, he does kind of embody the situation, because, like, Bill Hurt, you know, General Ross, or Secretary Ross, you know, kind of wants to treat the Avengers like, you know, he wants the UN to kind of treat the Avengers the way all these people who are activating Bucky kind of use Bucky. Like, they, you know, they'll have their own agendas and they can send him out whenever they want.
Exactly.
There's this interesting little parallel there.
Yep. Okay. So, does that end it for you, Casey? Is there anything else you want to say on that point?
Not really.
Okay. So that's your third thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Steven.
I will say I'm very much in agreement that Black Panther, I think, was kind of the breakout character in this movie. I mean, Spider-Man was great. I love this version of Spider-Man. I'm really excited for Spider-Man Homecoming, when, like, before I really wasn't that invested in it. But knowing that, you know, Tom Holland's a good actor, I like this version of Spider-Man. But for me, Black Panther was, you know, he was the thing that I was just really excited about. Like, I really want to see this Black Panther movie. I saw Creed over the weekend as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's gotten me more excited. So one of my favorite things would probably be Black Panther when he's talking to Zemo at the end of the movie.
Yeah, and the scene we mentioned before, yeah.
Because it's just, to me, like, I've seen the Black Panther, like, motion comic miniseries.
Oh, and the John Romita Jr. one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've seen, like, Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, that cartoon that takes a lot of inspiration from the comics. And from these, I mean, this movie really seemed to nail Black Panther. Black Panther is just kind of like, he's usually the most focused on the task at hand, you know, where the Avengers are like villains and stuff, and then Black Panther just kind of runs off.
Yeah.
And then when they like join up later, it, you know, he's like, oh yeah, I accomplished the mission, don't worry. Like, he just ran off and like did it. And this scene at the end where he's talking to Zemo, you know, and he has this realization, it was like, you know, vengeance has consumed you. It is consuming them. I am done letting it consume me. And then, like, right as the guy's about, and Zemo's about to kill himself, he, like, stops the bullet and says, was it, the living are not done with you.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was just quintessentially Black Panther from what I know of him.
Yeah, well, because he's a diplomat. Like, there's so many, Black Panther is such a deep character.
Yes.
Like, he's kind of like Batman of the Marvel Universe, but better. In that he's, like, I mean, because he's, instead of being the head of a company, he's the head of a country.
Yeah, like, they didn't really show it in this movie, so I'm kind of curious if they'll do it in the Black Panther movie, but I think, isn't, like, T'Challa, like, isn't he one of, like, the smartest people?
Something like that. Like, he's
like, up there, right?
He's up there.
Yeah.
You know, he's a diplomat, he's a great warrior, he has, obviously has amazing athletic ability and like, combat training.
If you were to ask me, like, name a character that's just one of the most all-around superheroes, like they're smart, they're strong, they're fast, you know, they got a little bit of everything, not too many disadvantages. Black Panther's one of the most, like, all-around characters I can think of.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, you got maybe Spider-Man. Spider-Man can probably be thrown in there.
Mm-hmm.
Superman, depending on the interpretation of him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so like Black Panther just is really well-rounded character, and you know, without spending too much time on my turn with this question, I do really love that end scene with him kind of completing his character arc.
Yeah.
I do really like how both sides are treated very fairly, because that was something from the comic books that I thought, like, you know, because, like, I would read it, and I remember, like, having problems with it, and then, like, you know, the more I would think back on the story, I thought, it's a really interesting premise, and I like the sides that they choose. I just thought, you know, like, Iron Man enlists the help of supervillains. Captain America's kind of a dickbag, you know, like, it's just...
There's a cyborg Thor that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
You just can't root for either team when you read that book.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the more I thought about it, it was like, you know, like, Team Iron Man would make sense, even though I would probably choose Cap, because I support Cap more. I like Cap as a character.
Mm-hmm.
I did really like that. I will say, I like Spider-Man's quipping during the big airport fight scene. I mean, it was...
Yeah.
Like, Taylor and I had a discussion about Spider-Man earlier, in that, like, you know, again, we all really liked Amazing Spider-Man 2, even though, like, you know, critically it's not the best movie.
We're like, three of the five people that fucking liked Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Even though it's a very flawed movie, but when it works, it fucking works.
Like, and I think, like, I was telling Taylor this earlier, I think the reason a lot of people, like, really defend Batman v Superman... is because, I mean, like, if you can, like, disregard the fact that Batman's, like, using guns on the Batmobile and the Batplane, or Batjet, whatever it's called, and, you know, and he's murdering people, like, if you can kind of get past that, because, I mean, like, whatever, Michael Keaton Batman kind of killed people. If you can get past the fact that this is a Batman that uses guns, it's a pretty cool Batman, and he fights like Batman from the comics does. Like, I can see why people... You know, they forgive a lot in the movie because, this, you know, they like this version of Batman. To me, that's what The Amazing Spider-Man 2 was. Like, I was able to overlook a lot of the problems with the movie because I felt like this was the closest thing to the Spider-Man that I know and love. Mm-hmm. You know, because Spider-Man's quipping. He's smart. You know, he's doing things with his webs that, like, conduct electricity or something like that. You know, he's showing to be a very smart person. You know, like, I wasn't in love with Andrew Garfield's Peter Parker or just how he was written. Because I personally like my Spider-Man or my Peter Parker being a bit more flawed. I find it more relatable when he's, like, a stereotype nerd versus, like, you know, I'm handsome Andrew Garfield and I'd be popular in any other normal reality.
Do you think that's what they're doing? Like, I was wondering when I was watching the movie, like, are they kind of doing the same thing with Tom Holland?
I don't think so. I think, like, he has this nervous energy to him. He's very, like, he's a bit more soft-spoken when he's Peter Parker. I get the feeling, maybe he's not the most stereotypical.
I mean, he's
nerd.
Not Tobey Maguire in the first one.
Yeah, but, like, I do get the feeling, like, you know, he's a bit more awkward. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like Andrew Garfield was, like, charmingly awkward in the first one when he's, like, you know, when he's talking with Gwen Stacy. Like, he was just a little too good at it. I don't know.
You're too good at being awkward.
His hair is perfect. He's an Adonis, okay? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't care for it. Yeah, but, like, the Spider-Man's jokes during the airport, because I think that was the big thing I always loved about Spider-Man growing up, is just all the jokes he would make, you know, because that's how he would kind of, he would get under his enemy's skin by just pissing them off while he fought them. You know, he'd just be making jokes left and right, and, you know, I loved that during the scene. The airport scene, I also loved when Ant-Man became Giant Man. I mean, that was a big thing. Like, I knew they were eventually going to do it in these movies. I did not think they were going to do it in Civil War for whatever reason. I thought they'd save that for, like, Ant-Man and the Wasp or something. So I will say, like, Spider-Man and Ant-Man during that scene was one of my things. And a third thing, I'm not sure if this is what they were going for, but I really liked the dynamic between Falcon and Winter Soldier. Because, like, I kind of got the vibe that it was, like, the old best friend coming back into the mix, and the new best friend is there, and they both kind of feel, like, threatened by the other. Mm. So they're constantly kind of, like, you know, making fun of each other, and there's just this back and forth between them, like, you
like,
know, like,
Steve's my man.
You know, like they're friend. They're in the Volkswagen buggy and the Volkswagen Beetle, and, you know, they're just watching Cap talk to Sharon Carter. And you see, like, Winter Soldier's just stuffed in the back seat, like, can you move your seat up? And Falcon's like, no. And then, like, you know, then they're both fighting Spider-Man later, and Spider-Man's quipping left and right, and then Spider-Man, like, webs him up, and then Falcon hits Spider-Man with a drone. And
right.
They're just.
I loved how the drone is the name of his, like, actual Falcon.
Red Wing?
Yeah, Red Wing.
Yeah.
I thought that was clever. That was cool.
And so they're both, like, webbed up, and then Bucky is just like, you should have opened, or you should have did that first, and he's like, I hate you. You know, like, I just got this vibe that it was like, you know, like, it's the old best friend and the new best friend, and they're just kind of, like, butting heads because they feel threatened by each other. I don't know.
Yeah, it reminds me almost of, like, Thor and Hulk in the first mm-hmm. Avengers, where they're always, like,
yeah,
reluctantly working together.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's your theory?
Yeah, that was the vibe I got from, like, Bucky and Sam, and I really like that. And, you know, I'm just gonna throw this out there as, like, an honorable mention. I get all the characters in this movie feel on point, like, what they are in the comics, aside from maybe, like, Falcon and Ant-Man, who were just kind of, like, more charming than their comic book counterparts. But, like, I will say, like, of everybody, I really liked, like, Hawkeye. I thought Jeremy Renner's, like, Hawkeye in this movie felt more like the Hawkeye that I know. You know, like, he had that one joke. It was like, what was Iron Man was saying? Like, oh, retirement doesn't suit you, Clint. Why don't you take up golf like a normal person? It's like, yeah, you know, I played 18, shot 18. Just can't seem to miss.
Yeah.
I thought Hawkeye and Vision and, like, all these characters, just they were just on point. And mm-hmm. I liked how they dialed back Scarlet Witch's accent.
A little bit, yeah.
they dialed that shit back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could probably go on forever, but...
Yeah, you had three things, Steve, and not like 17.
I'll end my turn there.
And with that, I put my card in defense position, and I end my turn.
And boom goes the dynamite.
And boom goes the dynamite. Well, you already said Black Panther, and Black Panther was definitely be one of my top three things. Mm-hmm. I already said this already. I said this already, but the third act is like the best third act in Marvel Cinematic Universe yet, in my opinion. And if we're talking about characters, I actually really liked how they did Vision.
Yeah.
I thought Vision was really fun because it's like, you know, he's like that kind of weird, kind of soft-spoken, awkward.
Yeah.
You know, like he's kind
he's trying to be human.
He's trying to be human, trying to make, like, he's trying to make Chicken Paprikash, you know.
He's wearing a fucking sweater.
Like, that's when I was sold, is that he wore a fucking sweater. It's like, yes, they're doing it. It's great.
Yes,
he did the sweater.
Vision in a sweater.
Cross that off my Civil War bingo board. Fuck yeah. So, yeah, like, I mean, there's a shit ton you can just say that is great in this movie.
Yeah.
That we already summed up. So.
Go ahead. Like, if I said some of yours, man, go ahead, man. Just...
No, I mean, it's stuff that we already mentioned. Like, I'm still kind of I'm just in love with, like, the fight choreography.
Yeah.
And how, like, I know some people, like, don't like the cinematography in this movie. They think it's like a TV show, even though I would argue it's very much not. I mean, there are some times where, like, the framing is not as good as it probably could be, or not as, you know, artistic as it probably could be. But there is stuff in there that I think people are forgetting. But, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. Civil War is fucking great.
It is. I would put it up there with, like, The Dark Knight and, like, some of the best superhero movies.
Yeah. Well, and I talked to Casey about that. Casey, are you still there? Oh, is Casey dead? Oh, shit, Casey, what happened to you? Oh, we'll keep going.
Yeah.
R.I.P., Casey.
He knew we were going to talk for a while.
It's just too much of that wine. Just had five sips, and he was out.
That's true. He's drinking wine, and it's 1:45 a.m. right now.
Tisk, 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 Casey.
It's got the tryptophan in it, right? That's what makes people sleepy.
No, I'm here, guys. That's Casey. Hi, Casey. I'm here. That sounds so... Casey, your voice sounds different. What happened to you? Oh, nothing. Just having allergies.
Casey was always that, like, you know, that hand puppet. Like, it's all right.
So, yeah, Casey, did you like Civil War? Yeah, it was great. I loved it. All the shit I said before, that's a lie. I loved everything. 10 out of 10. So, shit, there, Casey gave it a 10 out of 10, folks.
10 out of 10, best musical ever.
It's true. So, yes. Thank you for joining me, Steven. Thank you, Casey, for joining me.
You're welcome.
And we're gonna put, you know, all the leaks that we mentioned. Sweet Weenie, Kickstarter. It's going to be in the description.
And that sweet, sweet Supernatural fanfic.
Wincest. Hashtag Wincest. All right. Say goodnight, Casey.
Goodnight, Casey.
All right. And thank you again, listeners. And until next time, we'll remain at large.